Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Well, you have my text right there. Find it in your Bibles, Romans chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you just kind of turn to somebody and say, I'm glad to look at you. Then some of you can say, and I'm sorry you have to look at me. Oh, no. No, you wouldn't do that. As we continue this study, you know, boy, I was thinking of this last night as I was reading through this passage over and over again and just settling it in my heart once again. I was thinking, my goodness, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome, it was like he climbed up onto the high dive and jumped into the deep water. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The Bible. We'll start there. The Bible. And then he started talking about that. No man, no woman, no person would be able to come to him with an excuse because of what he has revealed in creation. Do you realize how huge that is? No one will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know that you existed. That's what he's saying here in the beginning. And then he moves and he begins to share that all of the sins and the degradation of mankind that has flowed out of that rejection of who God is, instead of offering him glory and praise, they just began to sin and 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 sin. Can I tell you? Man knows how to sin. So does woman. So do kids. It's amazing how these little ones can find sin. Come on. So where did you learn how to lie? Huh? Who taught you how to lie? Yeah, but they do. It's just that imputed sin that has come down to mankind, and then the generations of sin that are in our world. Tell me this is not deep water. Understanding how all that works, way beyond our pay grade. Yet Paul opens up his letter to the church at Rome with these things. And what we're looking at this morning is another deep dive. You say, well, why doesn't he just get to the good stuff? You know, the grace and the mercy and all. It's all in there. It's all in there. But you and I cannot truly know the love of God and the measure of his grace unless we know about sin and unless we know about judgment. This morning, well, this past week, if you've been paying any attention to the news, apart from the situation going on in Ukraine, terrible, terrible tragedy that is going on in Ukraine, my heart just breaks for those folks. You know, they're just living their lives just like us. And then some ding-a-ling, decides to invade their country and to do it by just smashing all of their homes. I don't know if you've been noticing that, but he's just destroying all of the apartments and all of the homes and just wreaking havoc. It's horrible. Tell me the enemy is not involved with that. But beyond that, this week there were hearings over, I'll probably mess up her name, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is awaiting an appointment to the United States Supreme Court. And she has been interviewed this week by members of the Senate. Questions that range from her family background, personal decisions that she's made in the past, judicial decisions that she has made in the past, and then a whole lot of politics. I don't know whether it's because Sharon had a birthday last week and I'm getting older. It happens when you've been married for a long time. The two shall become one flesh, so every time she has a birthday, I get older. But I have just about had it with politics. Sorry. That's about all the politics you're going to get, but I'm really tired of it. Good decisions are struggling to be made today, and they can't make them because they're so busy playing politics. We're really talking this morning about who gets to be the judge. Who gets to be the judge? In our passage today, Paul very abruptly turns his attention to the ability of individuals to pass judgment in comparison to God. Wow. I pray that God will give us wisdom. Wisdom to realize in the light of his truth that he's the only one who is capable of judging. Well, I hope by the end that you're able to get there. God is the only one who, in truth, has the capability of judging. Interesting. You should see this. Nobody's moving. Nobody's reacting. I'll say that one more time. Let's see what happens. I said, God is the only one who is capable of judging. Thank you. You know, even when you're sleeping and just sort of in and out, you can kind of go like this. It won't hurt. Well, let's see. I think maybe I've already messed up. I'm working on this. Okay? Because some of you can't hear, but maybe you can read. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, these very things, but approve of those who practice them. That's where we left off last week. It's not just about doing those things. Well, what things? Well, he says they've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but approve of those who practice them. Sometimes there is a passive approval of things. In chapter 2, Paul turns his attention from the whole of mankind to the individuals in the church at Rome and to us. He has been talking about how sin followed after the rejection of God as creator. And now, after talking about all of mankind, he zones in, if you will, to that church in Rome. And this letter comes to us as well. He begins to talk about man's poor judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse number 1. Read along with me. You. Everybody say you. Now say me. So you becomes me. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Wow. We're going to need a lot of help from you, Lord. Father in heaven, help us this morning as we study in your word. Get us beyond what we want and put in us what we need. As Paul was laying a foundation of all the truth of redemption that he would bring forth in this letter, help us, O Lord, to settle this foundation. It may be uneasy in us, but help us, O Lord, today. Help us to grow in you. When we leave this house, may we know that you have spoken to us in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an apparent awareness on Paul's part concerning the arrogant judgment of certain people in the church. Now, there's a lot of discussion of those who have studied this passage for many years as to what exactly that group, who that group may be. It could be Christians judging the pagans. We do that, you know. Maybe we'd never say things out loud, but in our minds, in our hearts, and even in sometimes in our confession, it is, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. How many can be just a little bit honest this morning? Okay. Then there were Jewish Christians who were judging the Gentile Christians. You're not as special as we are. Huh? We were God's chosen people. It's interesting because, see, I still hear some of that today in the Messianic Jew community. It still comes through. You know, if you were doing what you should be doing, you should be practicing all the feasts and recognizing them and how Jesus fulfilled them, but you should still be living according to the judicial system, if you will, of the Old Testament. Still around today. And then the winds of that regarding judgment are in the body of Christ, even those who are Gentile believers. 14 times Paul says you in the first 6 verses. So who's he talking about? Whoever this you is, he's nailing him. I mean, this could be considered a personal attack on those who are bringing forth this judgment. And he would say, and you know who you are. It's a definite identification of those who he is referencing here. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Understand this about man's judgment, and this goes for all of us, man, woman, whatever. I'm going to use the term man, and that pull the whole group in, okay? Man's judgments are external. They are external because they are solely based on what we can evaluate by what we see or what we hear. And built into that is this ease of judgment of somebody else. Now, there should be an amen there. Okay, we can pause and I'll give you an opportunity. Let me give it to you one easy. It is easy to judge someone else. Yeah. We make our judgments often out of a total lack of knowledge or experience. There's often prejudice that influences our concept of righteousness. Huh? I don't do that. So therefore, the fact that you do that makes it really wrong. Huh? It's so much easier to see other people's failures and sins and faults than it is our own. Here, let me bring this home. How many of you like to watch sports? Okay. Have you ever yelled at the TV? Huh? Many times, the individuals who have never attempted to play a sport, but who are obsessive watchers of a sport, come on, never been on the field, but they know exactly how the game should be played. Come on. I know that kind of might get close to home for some, but it's true. Well, if he would just do this, why didn't he just reach out and catch that ball? Oh my goodness, and they're paying him $40 million a year. Huh? Come on, let's confession time. How many of you talk to the television while you're watching sports? Boy, some hands just shot right up there. That's good, very good. You know, they can't hear you. I just thought I'd mention that. They can't hear you. You see, this whole thing of judging is really not as much about the other person as it is about you. That's what Paul is saying here. It's telling. Let's move it out of the sports and move it into the spiritual realm. Many of you who perhaps have been Christians for a while, you may not say some of these things out loud, but nevertheless, they're inside. They are, you're speaking them yourself. Why are they the way they are? Why did they say what they said? Oh, I can't believe that they did what they did. We hear about a preacher who has fallen. It's like, oh, well, I knew. I mean, you get that big, you get that famous. It's just you're just a hair's breadth away from it anyway. And you know what? Well, you have to compromise all over the place in order to get to that level. Am I telling truth? I've experienced just a little bit of judgment along the way for the last 44 years. It's amazing to me of how many people know how to pastor who have never pastored. It's interesting, Jill. It really is. So stop it, Jill. It's just not nice to judge me. No, you know, it should be done this way. It should be done this way. Oh, well, you know, I don't like you anymore because you do this. It's valid to not like a person. It's valid to say, I don't care for that person. But you be careful about how you judge that person until you have been in their shoes. And I don't mean just doing the same thing. I'm talking about in their shoes to be called upon to make the same decisions. Now, folk, listen to me. In relationship to what God has told us in His Word concerning those who are in authority over us, I've mentioned this to you before, but we need to keep this in mind in regard to our leaders. We're so far away from most of those who lead us in our country. You don't know. You don't even begin to have a shadow to know what they do or how they are pressured or anything about it. And to put them down over a decision that they make, I know I just moved this real close to home, but we need to get this close to home because you see, we are called upon by the Lord. Judge not, lest you be judged. You say, well, I've never done what they did. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? That goes back to what I said, it's easier to judge others than it is yourself. And even when Paul makes his statement here, let me find it. You are condemning yourself because you pass judgment doing the same things. You say, well, I've never done that. I've never done what they're doing. Sin? Make a wrong decision? Make an emotional decision? Huh? Make a decision that you thought was the best but turned out to be wrong? How many of here have ever made a wrong decision? Okay? How are you doing on helping other people who make wrong decisions? See? When you and I point to their decision and discredit them or dismember them verbally or physically because of the wrong decision that they've made, when we turn around, we're not just judging them, we're condemning ourselves. That's what Paul is saying. We're not good at judging. Quiet now. If you believe that, I want you to say it with me. We're not good in judging. We're not good in judging. Our judgments are always incomplete. Our judgments are not based, often not based, on truth because we don't know the truth. All we know is what we've heard or what we've seen. And we're judging internal decisions and circumstances from what we've seen or from what we've heard or from the prejudices that we carry in. Well, I don't like them to begin with, and so whatever they say, I disagree with. Come on. And we do that at every level, and church, we do it in the house of faith. We could walk farther together. We could be in greater unity if we could lose our right. And when I say that, it's in parentheses, our right to judge. Okay. I read a little story about King Louis XIV of France. He preferred to be called Louis the Great. Should tell you something right there, doesn't it? He had declared, "I am the state." He died in 1717, and his court was the most magnificent in Europe, and his funeral the most spectacular. In the church where the ceremony was performed, his body lay in a gold casket with a single candle lighting the entire room just over the top of that casket, signifying his omniscience. The thousands in attendance waited in silence, and then Bishop Massillon began to speak, and as he did, he slowly reached over and snuffed out the candle and said, "Only God is great." Church, we need to recognize we're not qualified to judge. And any judgments that we make are tainted and therefore false. And we risk being judged ourselves in that same area. I thought just out of pity there'd be more amens than that. But God's pure judgment because he gives us a contrast. Now see, if you cannot get to the place where you realize that your judgment is impure, that your judgment is incomplete because you don't know all the facts. When you line up your judgment and sentencing over someone else, you really won't get to this. That's why Paul started with what he did in telling them, don't try to be a judge because you're not qualified to be a judge. And then he reveals to them who is the judge. Paul offers no introduction or evidence that God is the judge of all mankind. He does not try to justify this. He doesn't try to explain it. He simply states it as a fact, a known fact by them. It's kind of fascinating. Because see, this is either a statement of knowledge or one of presumption. Either he knows the fact that they all believe that God is the judge, or he's presuming upon them that they would have that. If they're part of the church, he's presuming that they have already accepted the fact that God is the judge. I think that today a person could not make a generalized statement like that, because there's too many people that do not believe that God is the judge and that his judgments are pure. Stuart Briscoe said this: if God regards what we do important enough to judge, he certainly must regard that we are important enough to matter. God cares. God judges. When you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Verse number 3. You again may say, I've never done what they did. But are you without guilt in any area? Are you without sin? This may surprise you. There is comfort in the judgment of God. Why? He cares. I said he cares. Why would he care if he didn't care? Think about it. If God did not care about us, if God did not care about purity, if God did not care about where men and women stood in eternity, why would he matter? Why would it matter to him? Why would he judge man? If there wasn't an afterlife that could be enjoyed in his presence, why would he care? You understand how many things, spiritual things, are attached to the judgment of God? The fact that God is keeping account of all of our lives, of what we say, of what we do. Are you ready this morning to be judged by God in the same way you judge others? I personally want him to know more than what I know, and would be greatly concerned if he doesn't. Huh? I've told you this before. This is a pursuit that I am on spiritually and in my own journey. I have not arrived, but the pursuit that I have in my life is that I will accept everyone how they are, not how I think that they should be. It's a challenge, but it goes right along with this, because I'm hearing the word of God, and it exposes an inward part of me that says I'm not qualified to be your judge, so I need to back off of it. I need to let you live your life before God. Give you truth? Yes. But judge how you are living out that truth? No. Because he has not given me that assignment. So I need to learn to accept you as you are. Judge not, lest you be judged. Let God sit on the throne of judgment. Now, I realized this morning, this is not new Christian stuff. Because our natural tendency is to judge others based upon our limited information. How many can acknowledge this morning, at least, that we have limited information about other people? Okay. So just taking that portion, there's more to this, but just taking that portion alone, how many can realize that we do not make good judges? Then why do we do it? I believe that Paul is attaching for the people of the church at Rome something that you and I need to attach to all of our judgments. Every time judgment comes out of our mouth, every time judgment is going on in our heads, we need to stop ourselves and to say, how will I feel about being judged in that same way? Maybe not over that same exact thing, but in that same way. And that same way is where people don't know all the facts. I got asked this morning, how many of you have been judged by someone, and in that judgment you realize they just didn't know all the truth. They didn't know all the facts. Yeah, I see some hands going up. They don't really know me, and yet they're judging me. You see, again, he started this letter with this. He's going to go from here, from this level. He's going to move on. You cannot get to salvation by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ unless you can realize that God is the perfect judge, not you. Because, see, you and I cannot fully accept the grace of the Lord by faith unless you and I can let him be the judge and not ourselves. You will always hold on to your past. You will always hold on to every difficult thing that has ever happened to you, because it's going to be how you evaluate yourself. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, let me find it here, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Are you ready? I care very little if I'm judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. Oh, wait a minute. Why would he say that? Because he had such an understanding that his judgments were not pure. Even over his own self. I don't expect that too many of us can get there, just readily get there. But what you will, if you begin to practice this, where you're not judging other people, but you're letting God be their judge, you begin to accept them as they are. You begin to walk with them, realizing they've got their problems, I've got my problems. They have their sins, I have my sins. They have things they're dealing with, I have things I'm dealing with. I cannot point a finger at them because there are fingers pointing back at myself. We need to let God be the judge, because he judges in truth. He says, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads us to repentance? How did you get to the Lord? Was it because you're so good looking? Was it because you're so perfect? Because you were just such a glorious catch for God? No, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Every one of us. We need to begin to look through the lens of our own imperfection and realize, people, we need to cut them some slack. Say, yeah, but, you know, if they're reprobate, I'm going to call them reprobate. Who are you? If they don't know the Lord, pray and seek God and give them all the information you can so that they might find God. If you see the absence of God in their life, you want to lead them to God so that he can righteously judge them. Because when you and I start doing it, it's always with different colored glasses. when we're so very dependent upon God's grace and kindness to save us, why are we so quick to judge and sentence others? That's what he's saying. Remember his kindness in finding you. Remember his tolerance in putting up with you. Come on. Come on, church. Do you realize this morning how tolerant that God is of you? Man, I do of me. God, why do you put up with me? I'm not just talking about what's on the outside. I'm not talking about outward manifestations, things that people could see. I'm talking about what goes on in the inside of me. Sometimes I'm amazed at the stuff where the junk that goes through my brain. Come on. And I'll say that, God, why do you put up with me? Why do you tolerate me? It's beyond me. You know what happens in that moment? Then I begin to understand grace. Then I begin to understand unmerited favor. Then I begin to understand the kind of sacrifice that Jesus made for me. Truly, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I don't know in a sermon, is any single sermon, that we can breach the reality of our lives. But I pray to God that we could hear these 11 verses here in the second chapter of Paul's letter to Rome of the importance of letting God be the judge and cut other people some slack. I think one of the reasons why we struggle to really come into one accord and into community as the body of Christ is this very thing. We're too busy judging. Oh, they don't pray like I pray. They don't speak in tongues like I speak in tongues. They don't prophesy. They don't this. They don't, they don't, they don't, they don't. But I do, but I do, but I do, but I do. And it's all worthless. And he calls it to our attention. He says, be very careful, because when you judge someone else, you're going to be judged in that same manner. So we're adding, that's what he says, you're adding to yourself greater judgment. Now that underscores it, highlights it, puts an exclamation point that says, I need to pay attention. I need to give up on the judging, let God be the judge, and love one another. Well, let me finish this. Revealing judgment is coming. Here comes the judge. Huh? The supreme of supreme courts is about to set. The beautiful attributes of God, when known, are intended to lead people to repentance. What he said. When men know the truth and continue to sin, they're despising the kindness and patience of God. That's for every one of us. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, tells us that we should move away from it, and we continue on, we're despising the kindness and patience of God. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. That is, when you're pursuing the right stuff. You see, we want to say, well, I knelt at an altar. I went through the waters of baptism. I'm saved. I can do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to be glorious in heaven. You can't prove that by the word of God. You can cherry pick scriptures. Make yourself feel good. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, which we quote so often, that we are redeemed by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. But what's the next verse? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, he saved us so that we could walk in purity. They will know that we are Christians because we're walking after him. You see how the progression has gotten? He's getting real personal. To those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth, who follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. He's talking to the church. Paul identifies man's poor judgment. We're incapable of making good judgment of others. We risk bringing greater judgment on ourselves by judging others. You've got to know that. How many of you have been awake enough that you've gotten that truth this morning for this message as we leave here? Okay. Then the second part of this is that God, in his judgment, is pure. He knows. When we stand before him one day, he will know all the pieces. All the pieces. Not just what we've said with our mouths, not just what we pretended to be, but who we are. And there's comfort in the judgment of God because he knows us. Amen? See, why do I have it in writing and why am I speaking it? Because I want to push this in every gate that I can into your brain and into your heart. Because this is our journey. Our journey. Wrestle with this. Wrestle with this truth. Before this day is out, you will have occasion to judge someone else. It happens that frequently. I can say that with all confidence. Before this day is out, it may be someone you love right in your house. But before this day is out, you will have an opportunity to put this scripture into practice. What are you going to do with it? Can you leave the judgment into the hands of the Lord, knowing that true judgment is coming? And can I tell you, it's coming. And to me, it appears to be coming quickly. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that you sit on the throne. And when the day of judgment comes, the Lamb who was slain will be the one at the judgment bar. The one who has taken upon himself the sins of all mankind will be the one to judge all mankind. I pray, God, that you would help us to learn the lessons of the second chapter of Romans. We're not good at judging, so we should give it up. We should let you be the judge because your judgments are pure. And your judgment will be revealing because you know each and every one of us. You know the intent of our hearts. Help us this morning before we say the amen and go to our homes or wherever. Help us this morning to deal with this here while the truth is still fresh in our minds and hearts. In Jesus' name. I wonder if there are those here this morning who would acknowledge before the Lord that you've been taking on yourself the judgment of others. And the Word of God has convicted you this morning and you'd like to make a change. I'm not going to ask you to just lift your hand. And I'll tell you the reason in a moment. I'm going to ask you to actually get up and come and find a place at this altar. Now hear me. There's no judgment. There is no judgment of you for moving out and coming to this altar. Because every single one of us judge others. But if the Spirit of the Lord has been moving upon your heart in this regard, and you say, you know what, God? I would like to start a journey. I'd like to start a journey that would take the judgment of our others off of me and let you be the judge. If that's your heart this morning, I invite you to come. Find a place at this altar. Say, wow, Pastor, that takes a lot of courage. Not really, because every single one of us judge others. This is talking about a desire to change your course. And by the way, if I were you, I would be in prayer for your own life rather than watching to see who gets up and comes forward. Amen? Holy Spirit, you're in charge. Have your way right now in us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, I would love to introduce you to Him this morning. Maybe all of this is so brand new to you, you really don't know which way to go. Please give us an opportunity. We'd love to pray with you and invite Jesus into your life. Begin a magnificent journey of faith in Him. Praise you, Lord. Will you stand with me, please, congregation? I'm going to say a prayer of dismissal. Just, if you would, no talking here in the sanctuary. Just make your way on out into the foyer and you can visit with one another. But let those who are seeking time here at this altar to just spend it with the Lord without being in a hurry. Father in heaven, I ask your blessings over this church family as we leave this house and over all who are watching and listening online. May your Spirit be there upon them and upon us as we leave this place. Help us to realize the benefit of losing judgment and letting you be the judge. For all of eternity's sake, guide us forward now and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you today.